Welcome to the Excellent Task Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
I'm Sonia Rappaport.
And today, Sonia, we have reached the 17th episode of Season 4, the last episode of Season 4, the 64th episode overall, Family Ties. No relation to the Michael J. Fox television show.
Indeed.
Did I get that correct?
Yes.
Okay. This episode is a really interesting episode. We get a bunch of Magneto backstory stuff. We get some X-Factor NASA cameos. We get some weird Island of Dr. Moreau nonsense going on. We get more body horror hell nightmares that happened to our pal Wolverine. It's really all over the place. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was really great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I like that we delve into some characters that we haven't seen too much of so far. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are center stage in this episode. I mean, it's in a way a Magneto episode again, but like from a different angle than what we've seen so far.
Right.
We meet a new villain that we haven't seen before, and yeah, he has a whole interesting thing going on.
The High Evolutionary might have made a cameo appearance in one previous episode, but not to the extent that we see him here.
Yeah.
By the way, he's the villain.
Right.
So you're right. This is like another origin episode from a different point of view, and that's kind of been the theme of Season 4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen different deep dives into various characters' origins, be it Wolverine or Cyclops, or Rogue, and we see like from different angles, and they fill in the backstory more. So again, like great character, deep character dives in Season 4. And here's another one for Magneto, the X-Men's oldest foe.
Yes.
So the episode opens up with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch working in their X-Factor base somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We see Forge briefly in a cameo, and then they get an urgent message. Or no, Quicksilver gets an urgent message from Scarlet Witch saying that their father is dying. Oh, yeah, so I guess Scarlet Witch isn't on X-Factor because Quicksilver yells at her. It's like, you shouldn't be using this comm channel. How many times have I told you?
Yeah.
And but anyway, she lets them know that their father's dying, so he rushes off, as he's prone to do.
He picks her up in the Hummingbird, and they go to Romania.
Oh, yeah, he gets the X-Factor ship, the Hummingbird.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could buy that toy at the store. You're right. So they go to Romania. They see their father dying on his deathbed. And like all fathers are prone to do, he has some secrets to unfurl to them on his deathbed.
Right. He says, I've just been released of this vow of silence.
Right.
The secret that I like was never allowed to tell you, I'm going to tell you now.
Do you think this happens often in real life, that people on their deathbeds really unburden themselves of terrible secrets?
I don't know either.
I mean,
they just finally give up. They're like, well...
Well, all my grandparents have passed on me, and I don't think that ever happened. They never, it's not like they had any new information to share.
They weren't guarding any terrible secrets from
you. Yeah,
or
they went
maybe
to their,
they still are.
Yeah, they went to their graves with them. Now they just haunt my dreams.
Well.
But yeah, so, you know, classic storytelling trope, deathbed revelations.
Right, so he tells them,
like taxi cab confessions.
Guess what, I'm not your father.
Yeah. you were given to us by this cow lady,
Bova.
Yeah, this woman who looks like a cow.
She's a midwife from up the hill, and she brought you to us because she knew that we always wanted children
and couldn't have them.
And your real biological mother was like in deep trouble, and she feared for your lives and her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she like dropped you off with Bova, and kept running to keep you safe.
Right. So they're quite shocked at this revolution, and then they feel like they have to go track their father down.
Right.
Spoilers, their father's Magneto. You know, Magneto, too, gets a message from somewhere suggesting that his wife, who he deeply loved, is alive.
Magda.
Magnus and Magda.
Yeah.
What a pair. It's a little bit too on the nose, I think. I want to talk briefly about... Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. I'll try to make it brief. In the comics, they started off with Magneto and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And here in this cartoon, they kind of look like how they originally appeared, with Scarlet Witch wearing her traditional red witch outfit and that weird, like...
It's like a W crown.
A W crown,
right?
On her head that looks crazy.
For Wanda?
Yeah.
Or Witch.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Never thought about it like that. That's funny. I remember reading somewhere, who's the woman who plays Scarlet Witch in the movies? Her name is...
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen. She was talking about how relieved she was when she got the part and she read the comics that she wouldn't have to wear that outfit.
Oh.
She's like, oh my god, that would have been insane. And then Quicksilver's in his classic, like, sky blue spandex with the lightning bolt going across his chest.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I really love that. It's a classic costume. I think originally in the 60s comics, his costume was the same, but it was green.
Hmm.
And then they changed it. So like I said, they start off on the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants working for Magneto. They owe him some sort of debt, which is kind of mysterious at first. I forget what the reason is. It might have something to do with the mother. But they don't know at the time that he's their father. And then even though they're working for Magneto and they're bad, they still have hearts of gold. Like, I think at one point Quicksilver prevents a nuclear explosion that Magneto was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then, you know, they become good guys. I think at first, I don't remember if they first they joined the X-Men or they, at some point they joined the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And they become main Avengers characters.
Right, which and is that, how they make their way into the movies.
Right, so that's how, despite the fact that Fox owned everything related to mutants and X-Men, which Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver would fall under, Marvel is somehow able to use the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch characters in their movies. And there are characters who are shared between two movie universes, which was always kind of bizarre. It's funny, like, Beast was an Avenger for a long time in the 70s, I think.
Hmm.
I wonder if Marvel could have used Beast if they wanted to. I guess, you know, in the movies they explain that Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were enhanced, not mutants.
Mm.
So I don't think they wanted, I don't think they would want to introduce Beast and say, and not talk about how the fact that he's Hank McCoy, the mutant who was originally on the X-Men.
Right.
That would have been too much. But it was weird that they even decided to use Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver anyway in the Avengers movies. Like, why? There's plenty of other Avengers characters. Why, like, take established mutant characters whose father is Magneto and they're all tied in with X-Factor and X-Men and the whole backstory there? Like, why even bring them into the MCU where you're not even allowed to talk about mutants or anything like that? Kind of bizarre.
Who knows?
Anyway, with the universes now merging, I'm sure at some point the Scarlet Witch character, assuming she lives past Avengers 3, will say, like, oh, I'm a mutant, my father's Magneto. Like, it'll just come up as, like, oh, you didn't know that kind of thing, or something to that nature. Or maybe she'll just stay dead, and then they won't ever have to address it. So the point is, talking about that, the characters are quite different in the cartoon than they are in the movies, at least in the X-Men movies. For instance, Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, who's a really fun character.
Yeah.
Played by
real fan favorite.
Yeah. I feel like he's way overpowered in the movies compared to what we see in the cartoon. The cartoon's more in line with what the comics were like, and even the appearance of Quicksilver in Avengers 2, where he just kind of runs fast and that's it.
Yeah.
In the X-Men movies, Quicksilver seems to have the ability to manipulate space-time in some bizarre way.
Before we started recording this podcast, we had a half-hour debate about the nature of Quicksilver's powers and whether he can actually manipulate time.
Right.
Or it's just a difference in perception. Like, when we see him, moving at a seemingly normal speed, but the rest of the world around him seems to be moving slowly. Is it just that, like, his perspective is shifted, or is he actually, like, doing something? Anyway,
we had literally a half an hour debate about this. It got really confusing.
We decided not to subject you all to it, but long story short, if you would like to weigh in on this issue and let us know what you think the nature of Quicksilver's power is
in the X-Men movies.
In the X-Men movies.
Let us know.
Please chime in on the Facebook group or somewhere.
I mean, let's summarize our positions briefly. Your position was that he doesn't manipulate space-time, that it's just we're seeing things from his perspective and the world is slowed down.
The world is always slow to him, and sometimes he slows himself down to match the pace of everyday life so that he can communicate with other people.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Right. And I was saying that I think that he's normal most of the time. It's only when he somehow has to flip a switch in his brain to activate the slow down the world and I'm moving super fast power.
So you think he actually manipulates the passage of time?
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if he has to be running or... Because I feel like there's points where he just stops and time is still slow.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, how could he not be moving and the world still be going at like a snail's pace?
Right.
And that was the essence of our debate.
He needs to be running.
Right. So that was the essence of our debate, and we were really confused, and we fought about it for a long time. Let's move on.
Yes,
let's. In the cartoon, he doesn't seem to have that power. He just runs kind of fast.
Right. Like, and sometimes he, like, can whirlwind himself around so that he can...
slow down. Like, he falls off a mountain a few times, and he whirlwinds himself.
He doesn't hurt himself when he gets to the bottom.
you know, interesting. Anyway, so... in this episode, now they're off to find their father, and Magneto's got someone's let him know that his wife is still alive. So he goes and visits Professor X at the X-Mansion. It's kind of a fun scene. He breaks through the X-Men's defenses. Professor X is surprised that his defenses didn't detect him, which is kind of like a big... He should be more than surprised. He should be very upset at himself.
It shouldn't even be about his defenses. He's psychic, and Magneto waltzes in without his helmet on.
Right, and they don't even establish in the show that he needs his helmet, that his helmet can even block Professor X's telepathy. I think it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, Magneto is your greatest villain. Create some defenses that the X-Mansion would be able to stop Magneto at the very least.
Yeah.
But anyway, he strolls into the mansion, Professor X is like, yeah, but Magneto, Wolverine was a Century Point. What's he doing? And then he's like, why don't you see for yourself? And Professor X turns on his security television set, and Wolverine is...
He's like bound up with electrical charges that are... Like, shocking him continuously. He's like, convulsing in pain.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, tied up with, electrified metal plates that Magneto wrapped around him. Right, and he's, like, in the worst pain.
And Professor X is like, oh, I see.
And he turns the TV off.
Doesn't even try to help him.
Right, and he continues his polite conversation with Magneto. Right, and he can control Magneto's mind at this second and have Magneto release Wolverine from this horror.
But
horror.
He doesn't.
No. So Magneto reveals that, like, I need you to use Cerebro to help me track down my wife. I've got this message. And Professor X is like, normally I wouldn't do this, but in this case, yeah, sure, why not? For some reason. Magneto's like, okay, great, you're helping me. By the way, if you try, no matter what happens, if I get hurt or if I hurt other people, do not try to come and stop me or intervene.
Right.
And Professor X just kind of like shrugs his shoulders and is like, yeah, I'm not keeping that promise. Also, worthy of note, Magneto's costume in this scene is very interesting. He's wearing like a badass black trench coat with like a red button-down shirt and black tie. Mm-hmm. He looks very menacing.
This is his fireside chat conversation outfit.
We talked about how Professor X and Magneto are often meeting in like a nice parlor room in the mansion to have all their serious business talk.
Yeah.
Like they're playing chess or they're by a fireplace and they're just actually, in splendid comfort.
It's so luxurious.
Yeah.
It's actually like a really beautiful scene from an animation perspective, because the fire is next to them and there's this like orange light bouncing off their faces as they talk. Like it's a nice touch.
Yeah. I'm always stunned at how beautiful Magneto is as a man. He's got this chiseled face and chiseled abs, and he's got long flowing white hair.
It's a real silver fox.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate like early 90s like playboy man. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's funny though because they don't portray him as like a ladies' man in any way.
No, not at all. He's
I mean, I guess it's a kid's show, so they wouldn't.
No,
that would be inappropriate.
But I mean, he looks like that in the comics too.
Yeah.
He's like this like real like carved out of rock hunk of a man.
Uh-huh.
Pretty interesting. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, if I saw that man in real life, I'd probably be like, have to take a step back. I'm like, wow. Magneto heads to Romania. Professor X has Wolverine trail him secretly from behind. He goes to his ex-wife's cemetery, his deceased wife's cemetery. He meets like a floating wraith woman in a cloak. And she's like, do not come close. I'm still upset at you. And Magneto's like, oh, Magna, we have to forget the past.
Magda.
How do you say it?
That's how you say it.
Can you spell it?
I think it's M-A-G-D-A.
Magda. Magnus and Magda.
Yeah.
What a pair. It turns out it's not his wife. His wife's dead.
Right.
It's one of these, like, animal people.
Yeah. That we'll talk about more in a second here.
Right. But. It was all a trap, and then Quicksilver, Silver, and Scarlet Witch show up. They all get into a fight. Wolverine joins the fight. They all get kidnapped.
I like it how, like, right before Wolverine joins the fight, he's like, I'm going to regret this. And then he, like, runs to
just charges him. Straight in with no strategy. There's, like, literally 12 mutated people, Magneto, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver, all super-powered, and Wolverine just barges in the middle like a bowling ball.
Claws shining.
Yeah. you know, that's one of Wolverine's greatest powers is the fact that he's kind of invincible. So he might as well just, like, a wrecking ball, like, swoop in. And
we talked about this, like, an episode or two back, how it's, like, Wolverine is, like, a really fun character when he's a side character.
Yeah.
Just, like, his stupid one-liners are, like, actually really funny a lot of times. And
this is one,
like,
of those episodes.
When he's in a supporting role, like, he's really enjoyable. So, yeah this is, like, a shining star episode for Wolverine.
He's, like, a C or D character in this episode, and in twice he's subjected to extreme torture.
Yeah.
It's just par for the course. We'll get to the next torture. So they're all kidnapped by this guy named the High Evolutionary. He lives in this magical mountain called Wundergore.
Uh-huh. Or Wundergore, depends how you pronounce it.
Right, very bizarre. And up in this mountain, he's like, so the High Evolutionary is this weird-ass character that's from the 19th century, much like Mr. Sinister. I think he's, like, his past is tied in with Mr. Sinister in a way. Like, he was a student of his.
It makes sense. He's doing these, like, genetic experiments.
Right. They're both geneticists. Apparently,
he's not as, like, gross as Mr. Sinister.
No, he's weird-looking, though. He's, like, he's got this pink face and silver bodysuit. According to Wikipedia, it says something that, like, his intelligence is insanely high, that it rivals that of the cosmic entities in the Marvel Universe, which is bizarre. And he's the number one geneticist on planet Earth, which is also insane because you have Mr. Sinister, too.
Right.
He seems also like a Mr. Sinister, like...
I like his style a lot better than Mr. Sinister, though. Because Mr. Sinister, like, everything around him is always, like, slimy and slurping and just, like, goopy and gross.
Mr. Sinister's this weird vamping character, too. And he's also kind of looks like a vampire.
Yeah. He's, like, sharp, pointy teeth.
And red lipstick and stuff. He's right. Really weird.
Whereas,
looking.
Like, the Evolutionary is just in, like, a metal suit, and he's, like, looks getting like, down to business.
Looks like an alien.
With genetics.
Yeah, and the High Evolutionary is a strange character, because he's kind of, like, these weird... He's one of these weird characters that is neither evil nor good. He does good things. Like, I think they talked about in the Wikipedia article that he's really, like, good to children and protective of children and things of that nature. And he's got a good side, but he also... You know, he puts his experiments above all others, too, so he's got the mad scientist side to him as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of bizarre stuff going on with the High Evolutionary, you know? He's on a whole other level of comic bookery.
Right. So in this episode, it's weird. He's got this, like, magical kingdom sort of thing that, like, he's created, and a lot of it has to do with he's genetically engineered these, like, what he calls his creatures, where they're humanoid, but they're animals.
Yeah.
They have animal heads, but human bodies.
Much like we saw in the Secrets Not Long Buried episode a few back, with Cyclops goes to that mutant village in the desert, and there's a character that's just a dog man.
Right. And we were speculating, like, about what it's like to
be a dog man. Right. So maybe he escaped from the High Evolutionary's Wundergore castle.
Who knows, but, like, all of these half people, half animals, it's, like, bizarre because they're this army of, like, workers, essentially.
And they seem happy.
In this, like, magical kingdom. Yeah. They seem, like, happy and fine, and some of them have to fight, and some of them have to farm, and, like, whatever. But they're not really given personalities too much. They don't have a lot, like, a couple of them have speaking roles.
It's best not talked about, as Beast says when he arrives with Professor X later. He says, wow, they're just like me. They're beast people. He's like, let's not talk about it now.
He like, literally I don't think we have time to get into it.
So anyway, they're all captured. High Evolutionary says he's got this plan to combine the DNA of Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Magneto into one, I guess, into another mutant. In this case, his test subject is Wolverine.
Right. So he's got them all, like, suspended in this amber...
It's like the amber from Jurassic Park.
Except, like, their heads are sticking out the top so they can, like, talk and listen to him.
And converse with him.
And he already collected samples of all their DNA to put together, which, like... I don't know. Like,
he says that he needs the speed of Quicksilver to help the workers, the probability of Scarlet Witch for some reason, and Magneto, who he proclaims to be the most powerful mutant on Earth.
Right.
Which is crazy. I mean, we this is another debate we had before we recorded the podcast. Like, why is Magneto considered the most powerful mutant on Earth?
Right.
And is he? It doesn't seem like he would be. It seems like he's trumped by Professor X no matter what he does.
Yeah, I mean, my position on this is just that, like, for different situations, different mutants are going to be better or worse suited to the situation. So, like, I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, like, it doesn't really make sense to say empirically that, like, someone is, like, the most, you know, like, I don't know, it's comic books, so they like to talk in these superlatives of, like, yeah. the most powerful, the most intelligent. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. It's situational.
That's true. You know? I mean, there is a hierarchy to these things. Like, and my argument that I was arguing with you about was, how is Jean Grey not by default more powerful than Magneto because, not even because of the Phoenix thing, but because she's got the power of telekinesis, which can control any substance on Earth, not just metal.
Right, but, like, when she uses it, she passes out, so.
Well, in the cartoon, she does. Yeah. I mean, that was also a theme, too, in the early comics when Jean Grey was a teenager. Her telekinesis was very weak. She didn't have, like, it was somehow related to her body weight. Like, she'd have trouble lifting things heavier than her.
Oh.
Which, you know, why is that connected?
I don't know. You know? Like, the parameters for all these powers is...
It's fun.
So, like, malleable and, like, randomly assigned.
Yeah, it's based on the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a tradition in the comics of referring to Magneto as the X-Men's most dangerous foe, which, again, is debatable. He's right. Their most famous foe. He's their first foe.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like you... What's the saying? Like, you always hurt the ones you love or something? Like, you know, it's like he's their most famous foe or their most dangerous foe specifically to the X-Men because he has this long-standing history and interconnection with Professor X.
Okay.
So, like, he keeps coming back into their lives and, like, raining trouble on them, basically, because there's this personal connection.
I would
and,
say...
Like, yes, he's powerful in terms of, like, his actual powers, but it's more that, like, they have a bond, right?
Yeah. So. I would say beyond that, though, in the comics, they spell it out why he's the most dangerous. They always say, like, of all the bad mutants, he's the most dangerous. And I'm not sure if that's for his leadership abilities and his like, megalomaniacal genius or something.
Right.
That, like, why he's the most dangerous, or because of his philosophy, which is that he thinks mutants should rule over all the humans.
Right.
So... It is something referred to in the comics that he's the most dangerous.
But dangerous and powerful are not synonymous.
Yeah, but he does seem to have a lot... Like, his power does seem to go to weird places at times. Like, for instance, in the Asteroid M episodes, which opened season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he's able to fly in outer space with his magneto bubble and, like, you know, turn an asteroid into a habitable place.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm assuming he's just, like, doing a lot of weird manipulation of the natural resource minerals of an asteroid.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know what, like, maybe Magneto can make superstructures or something. Like, he's also built that citadel in the Savage Land, too. So, you know, maybe he's got secret construction powers that we don't really see, at least in the cartoon, where he can make fortresses and things like that.
Maybe. Anyway,
he's also a scientist as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The High Evolutionary is taking tissue samples from him and the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, which... His is like, oh, it's extra, you know, like the Scarlet, the High Evolutionary knows that the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are Magneto's children.
And he reveals it as such to them and everyone's stunned.
And they're all stunned, but like, if they're his children, it means half of their DNA is Magneto's DNA. So it doesn't seem like it would be necessary to take the DNA from Magneto too, but whatever, they're all there. So
yeah, Mr. Sinister's plan made more sense because... His plan was to take the DNA of Scott and Jean and combine them into one, because he said they were the perfect... Their DNA combined made the perfect, like, mutant combination.
Uh-huh.
So, to me, that, like, logically makes more sense, because he had, like, a theory where it's like, I'm going to combine the DNA of these two different people and turn it into something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the High Evolutionary is like, you're right, his point, like, the logic's a little off.
Yeah.
But then he, like, violently, like... throws Wolverine into a tube full
and then
of green
the Scarlet
goop.
Witch and Quicksilver are twins, aren't they?
Yeah.
So technically they have the exact same DNA.
Just some
so
different
he does
chromosomes.
Not need both of them.
Right.
All whatever. Right. Anyway.
Who knows? So he violently throws Wolverine into a glass tube of green goo. Wolverine, again, this is the second instance where he is horribly tortured.
Yeah.
And his body is violently transformed into that of like a massive Wolverine animal, I guess.
I guess.
Are we to assume that was an animal? It looks like a large werewolf. I don't really know what a Wolverine looks like.
Isn't it like a rodent?
It's like a weaselly rodent with claws.
Yeah. This
like, or is it like a badger? Is a Wolverine like a badger?
I think so.
Okay. They're supposed to be like smelly, right? And grimy.
Like, I think it looks kind of like a ferret. Like, ferret badger.
Are they native to Tasmania?
Not that I know of.
All right. Anyway.
That's the Tasmanian devil.
I know, but, like, are there also Wolverines and the Tasmanian devil? They hang out together.
I don't know about that.
You know, the Wolverine's, like, a seemingly cute forest animal that you don't just come across in nature. You know, America is a place full of, like, in frontier times in America, were they were there a bunch of Wolverines running around the countryside that people were hunting and making pelts out of, or are they just native to some continent like Africa or something? All right, Sonya's looking up Wolverines. Where are they native to?
Oh, it's just, it's like a little bear animal with.
Oh,
it's really cute, actually.
Well, it looks. I don't know how cute it looks. It looks kind of scary to me. Oh, they're Canadian. Duh. They're Russia. They're from Russia and Canada.
Yeah.
All right, so we are stupid. anyway, Wolverine gets transformed into a mutated, like the Godzilla version of a Wolverine.
Yeah. Actually, that did clear things up for me, that he does look like a Wolverine in the state. Okay, anyway.
So he's kind of set loose. He doesn't seem to have a brain anymore. So unlike the other mutated creatures that seem to have intelligence, can speak, and wear clothing, this Wolverine is just running around like a lunatic. And once all the secrets are revealed, Magneto's like, now that I know everything, I'm going to free myself. And this golden amber that they're trapped in, he breaks easily.
He just, like, electrifies himself out of it.
Right.
And he sets free the other two.
Right. And then Professor X shows up with Beast only, which is kind of bizarre, because they're facing a lot of superpowered creatures.
Right.
And there's a big fight. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are running around, and Beast fights the Wolverine-ized Wolverine. Mm-hmm. and Professor X doesn't do anything. You know, you'd think he could just freeze everybody's mind and just put a stop to all this, but he doesn't. He does get knocked over at one point, so maybe that's what happens to him. Anyway, the High Evolutionary retreats, and he uses, like, a UFO spaceship and beams aboard all his friends, and he leaves Wolverine behind. And as he flies away, you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen to Wolverine? But the entire mountain just, like, melts into a snowy mountain. Before, it was, like, a green, lush grass forest with right. a big
Well, that
palace.
Was his, like, mystical kingdom.
Right,
And
yeah.
when he leaves, I guess his mystical kingdom leaves with him.
Right,
something.
So Wolverine turns back to normal, and he has no memory of what happened.
Right.
And, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch decide that they cannot reconcile with Magneto. They blame him for their mother's death. And Professor X is like, you know, maybe one day they'll get over it and you can have a family. And Magneto's like, well. And then they walk off into the distance. And then that's the end of season 4.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
4 seasons in the books.
Yeah.
And there's only 1 season to go. 1 misbegotten season. That might be a bit painful to get through. Well, first of all,
any, or a lot of fun,
right? Any last thoughts on Family Ties, the Michael J. Fox television show? Did you ever watch that show as a kid?
I like have some vague recollection
Me too.
Of it, but
I know Michael J. Fox, like his character. He was a conservative, like a young conservative, and his parents were hippies from the '60s,
right?
And that was part of the humor. Beyond that, I know nothing about the show.
Oh, wait, I think I'm picturing Growing Pains.
Oh, wait, was that Growing Pains? Yeah, maybe we're wrong. Oh, my God.
Kirk Cameron? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, I don't know. Family Ties, Growing Pains, it's all the same shit.
Anyway, I thought this was a really great episode to finish up season 4.
It really carried along with the themes of season 4. Like you said, backstories and nice cameos and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And weirdness.
Right, and you know what? With the introduction of new characters and like how deep the story went and all the amazing powers that we saw, I didn't even really miss the other X-Men. I feel like
no.
a lot of times when there's an episode where it's like only Wolverine and Beast or only, you know, Jean and Scott or something like
yeah.
that, you're like, what about the rest of our X-Men friends?
Yeah.
But I actually didn't feel that way this time.
I would have been happy if this episode was just about the X-Factor.
Yeah.
I thought that's maybe, fine. I forgot this episode, like I thought maybe that's how it was going to start. We're just going to see the X-Factor in an adventure.
No, they needed Wolverine though. He yeah. like really spruced up the plot here.
Right. Yeah, that's part of his job in
yeah.
the greater Marvel Universe. So, yeah, a very good episode. Season 4, excellent. You know, more consistent than I thought it would be. Excellent season. Just
yeah.
as good as the other ones,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it was great.
The quality of the show. Like, I mean, that's why the show is legendary in my mind, because the quality, with the exception of season 5, does not really dip.
You know, we keep trash talking season 5.
Yeah, but
let's
we have
wait
to
until
see.
We get
yeah.
there.
I know there's good episodes. They're just horrendously animated.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's horrible is that some of the voice actors change. Like, our pal Gambit
oh.
is going to have a new voice, and it's terrible.
All right, well.
We'll see.
We're in it for the long haul here, so.
And speaking of season 5, should we reveal our secret plans, or should we hold off and talk about it on our X-Men Task Facebook group? Let's give a teaser to our plans.
All right.
So, you know, as you know, we're running out of episodes. And up to this point, it's been a wonderful ride with you, the audience, and all our followers. So we thought in season five, it would be fan appreciation season five.
So we've had a number of people chiming in on the X-Men Task Podcast Facebook group over the past four seasons. And you guys have really great things to say, really like interesting, funny questions and comments about what's going on with the show and X-Men in general. So we thought, you know, maybe we'd extend the invitation out to some of the fans that have been listening along with us this whole time and, you know, active participants in the group to see if anyone might want to come on the show.
Yeah, no pressure. But, you know, we'll work out those details as we go along. So if it's something you're interested in, let us know. And
you can direct message us on the from the Facebook group.
Right, and we'll figure it all out.
And I guess we'll put out an announcement there, too, in case anybody, you know, missed it from this episode.
Yeah, so, you know, probably in a couple of weeks you'll hear more about that. You know, we're going on vacation next week. And so there might not be an episode, a rare week off for us. We'll see. We'll see how tired we are when we get back, mm-hmm. if we can squeeze one in before we have to go back to work. So, you know, there's some time to think about all this. But anyway, the point is it's real exciting. We're nearing the finish line. And what a ride it's been. What a ride on the Blackbird. And so I would like to say in closing all the usual stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson. Join the X-Men Task Facebook group just by searching it out on Facebook. And rate, review us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you rate and review podcasts. That really goes a long way to helping spread the outreach of the show. Sonia, any final words you have to share with our audience about season four, about season five, about your life, about anything in general?
I'm going to regret this.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.